on, you son of a bitch.
Fuck.
Dean hadn't enjoyed his trip down the canyon. It was crawling with muddy pigs, mostly browsing among the trees, and the boy had made slow progress, dodging and waiting, his eyes constantly darting in all directions. Though he saw lifted heads and questing muzzles, none of the animals scented him, and he made it safely. Fortunately, the Box Canyon had suffered a flash flood in the past weeks, and there was a towering pile of snagged branches of all dimensions, now sun-dried, ideal for him to drag into the ravine and block the trail east. He felt in his pocket for the self-lights that his father had given him. Dean crouched out of sight in case the brushwooders appeared, ready to set the fire. Baron Wayman had retreated to his own private set of rooms and taken out the velvet-lined trays that held his precious collection of English pre-dark coins. His head was lowered as he sat at a table by one of the shuttered windows, running his fingers slowly over the gold and silver lines. There were frail coins from Saxon times, from the reigns of Alcred, Osbert, and Bertwulf. A golden double leopard came from Edward III's reign, from Henry V, a half-groat. The ailing man had his eyes closed, shutting away the doubtful horrors of the last day or so, letting his beloved coins ease his uncertainties. A dark blue silk bag held 24 extra fine double florins from the time of Queen Victoria, and another held superb examples of soft gleaming sovereigns. Letting the cold metal caress his fingers, Baron Wayman was happy and contented, all of his worries forgotten for the time being.
I said, come on!
By now, his son would be waiting for the signal of the gunshot. The Ponga was ready, perfectly balanced, an extension of Ryan's right arm. Still, General waited, working himself into a terrifying rage. Blood flecked the twisted cord of frothing gruel.
What are you waiting for?
The charge was explosive, as though the mutant boar had been fired from a huge cannon. Ryan fainted to throw more stinging sand in the pig's eyes. General instinctively jerked his head away, altering the angle of his attack. Ryan slashed down at the shoulder of the great monster as it lumbered past him. But the animal's skin was tough and leathery, almost jarring the Ponga out of Ryan's hand, leaving only a shallow cut a few inches long that wept a little purple blood.
Fire blast!
This was enough to provoke General to even dizzier heights of crazed ferocity. He turned, hesitating a moment, weighing up the opposition, not committing to another blind charge, taking greater care. Ryan had to rethink his own strategy. The Ponga was useless. The pig was a far more lethal opponent than he'd imagined, and killing it was a serious problem. Ryan saw a chance and took it, despite the appalling risk. As General thundered toward him, Ryan stood slightly sideways onto the creature, waiting for the right moment. He jumped high in the air, steadying himself with his left hand on the bristled shoulders, avoiding tusks and teeth, and landing astride the pig's back. General tried to buck him off, running around in a tight circle. Ryan knew it could only be a matter of seconds before the wily old boar spotted the way out and rolled on the ground, wiping him away like a mule shedding a tip.
Oh, Jesus!
Ryan fought for balance, risking letting go with his left hand, holding the hilt of the long knife in both hands. Ryan picked the spot carefully, where the head joined onto the back, and plunged in the sharp point of the blade with all his strength. He felt the steel penetrate through, deep into the wedge of muscle, finally reaching the delicate spinal cord. General skidded to a shuddering halt, front legs braced, nearly throwing Ryan over its head. Ryan felt its gigantic body start to shake and quiver, as if it were suffering an ague. He drew out the Ponga and drove it in again, pushing the hilt with both hands, feeling the steel nick on bone. Like a brain-shot horse in an abattoir yard, General slumped suddenly onto his knees, his snout gouging a furrow in the packed leaf mold. Then he rolled onto his side, his legs kicking helplessly, enabling Ryan to step quite safely off, withdrawing the steel. Feeling that he was being watched, Ryan spun, seeing at least a dozen of the muddy pigs staring at him from the edge of the woods, only a few yards away.
Time to move.
Ryan sheathed the Panga and picked up the Sig Sauer from where it had fallen. He reached for the self-light that he'd also dropped on the ground. Ryan realized that the pigs weren't looking at him. Their attention was fixed on their dying leader. The general wasn't going gently into the good night. His hooves were scratching in the dirt, fighting for purchase, and he kept lifting his head, his eyes red-rimmed, seeking the creature that had slain him. The monstrous bulk was convulsing, actually driving it along like a vast pink slug toward Ryan. Bright blood trickled from the muzzle and streamed from the open, panting jaws. The self-light blazed into life, its yellow flame hardly visible. Ryan thrust it into the pile of tiny twigs that he prepared, gathering the dried branches that the boar had scattered. There was a wisp of smoke, then the scarlet glow of a fire that gathered momentum fast under the light breeze. The herd of pigs had already grown in numbers to 30, a few of them showing signs of restlessness at the scent of the flames. Moments later, the fire was burning fiercely, tongues of red and yellow racing across the carpet of dead needles, igniting the chaparral and mesquite with explosions of flame. Ryan straightened, checking that the course of the fire was right along the canyon toward the pigs. Some had already turned away and were starting to move restlessly down through the close-set pine trees at something between a fast walk and a lumbering trot. The fire was burning more quickly than Ryan had anticipated, making it time to give Dean the gunshot signal to start his own bonfire before the entire herd of pigs gave way to panic and fled out of the Box Canyon. Ryan was off and running. Christy had been resting on the double bed in the room that she'd been sharing with Ryan. She suddenly got up and walked to the window that faced west, peering through the slats in the shutters. Doc had been sitting with her, the friends talking about when the Brushwooders might put in an appearance, and when Ryan would return to them.
What is wrong, my dear lady? Are you having one of your feelings?
Christy nodded, pushing back an errant curl of her bright red, sentient hair.
Something like that.
How does it work? Do you see it or hear it? I find such an ability quite fascinating.
It's like hearing the sound of a bell very far off. Sometimes the bell's bright and silver. Sometimes it's more like the tolling at a funeral. I don't mean that I can really hear a bell, just that it's the nearest I can explain it.
What can you see?
Over in the direction of the sea. Looks to be about 15 miles or so away. Can't tell easily. Fog's coming back again. But it looks like smoke.
Yes, it was working. Ryan felt his heart leap with excitement and delight as he ran as fast as he dared down the slope of the canyon, weaving and dodging between the trees. The main flow of the fire was to his left, raging through the conifers, igniting the underbrush. Flames reaching into the lower branches of the pines, bursting from tree to tree. The smoke was still relatively thin, rising in a boiling column, darkening the blue sky. Ahead of him, Ryan could hear the herd of muddy pigs, driven into a wild panic by the pursuing flames. Every now and then, Ryan would glimpse some of the animals, scampering at speed, moving faster than he was. For a moment, he stopped, wiping sweat from his forehead, moving the patch to clear it from the puckered socket of his missing left eye. He squinted through the drifting smoke to try to see whether Dean had heard the signal and had managed to set his own fire going, but he couldn't make it out from where he was. Ryan continued to run toward the main trail. Now everyone, including Bill Rainey, was in the bedroom with Doc and Christy, crowding around the window. Trader turned away first.
I see, that's two separate fires. It's two fucking fires.
Jack nodded in agreement.
Yeah, two fires.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Dean was waving his arms, jumping up and down in a cloud of choking gray dust, cheering on the stampeding pigs ahead of him. He saw his father emerging from the billowing smoke and the shifting threads of fog.
See him go!
The boy had his retrieved Browning in his right hand, ready to encourage any stragglers among the animals. His fire was burning well, completely blocking the trail to the east, forcing the muddy creatures to funnel down the ravine to the west.
Which way we going, Dad?